Fourth and final hour on this Tuesday afternoon. We are live here at Third and Home. First Horizon Park tonight. The Sounds have their first home opener in over 600 days. They are hosting the Memphis Redbirds. Everybody's excited. This place, people in here enjoying a nice lunch. The food is spectacular. They've got great drink specials. Fun place to hang out before a game, after a game, during the game here at Third and Home. First pitch will be at 6:35 this evening. Nashville Sounds Baseball on ESPN 94.9 presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza. Let's say hello to Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. He now joins us. Hal, how you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's opening day. It's springtime. Preds are in the playoffs. What else do you want?
Right. I mean, there's just no complaints at all. So your takeaways from last night, we talked about it in postgame, but now that you've had a little bit more time to reflect, cool moment, huh? I mean, that's something we'll never forget. If you were in the building, you'll take that memory. It'll be a lasting memory.
Absolutely. That was awesome. And for a game that really didn't matter, and you're looking at a bunch of young guys coming in and, you know, trying to their last audition to be in the lineup for playoffs, they put a good effort together, and I think I didn't realize it at the time, but obviously at the end, they did it for Pex. I mean, that's what's awesome about it, right?
And yeah.
I know Pex didn't really want to make a big deal out of it, but the fans certainly did, and I think the team did as well. So that tells you everything you need to know about Pex, is he just wanted to go out there and get one more dust up before the playoffs start, and he got that great reception from the fans, and the team stood out there on the ice and made sure that he took his lap. I mean, what an awesome thing, and an awesome guy, awesome goalie. So that was a lot of fun for me to be a part of that one.
No doubt about it. I kind of feel like if you ever got the victory lap, you would end up doing Snow Angels or something. I mean, it would just, you would have a funny moment. I don't know what it would be, but you would come up with something clever.
He was stone cold, you know, Steve Austin some beers. That's what he do.
Could do that. That would be good.
Just crush a couple beers.
Yeah. I love
no,
it.
No, you know what? I appreciate you saying that, but, you know, you have to be something special to get something like that. And, you know, I'd love to be anywhere near Pex, but he's on a level of his own. And so that's why he gets that treatment.
You've had cool moments. You've had extreme highs in your career. What is it like? So you go through this emotional roller coaster through a game, you know, a celebration. It's probably impossible to sleep. But that next day, like waking up, what is it like as a player? You know, for them, they're waking up now. I know they're getting into the playoff mindset, but for him especially, what is that like the next day, trying to process what you just went through?
Yeah, you know what? I'm just guessing, you know, and this is the way I always process those things. You go through something and you enjoy the night, and you let it sink in, and maybe in the morning you kind of pinch yourself, was that a dream? Like what is going on, you know, and then you move on. You know, I mean, that's the bottom line. Is I think Tex is probably looking at it as like, wow, that was awesome. Spent some time, probably celebrated. It was really cool. His son was there, and mm-hmm. he went over to say hi to him before the game started. And then he has all this going on. I'm sure he went home after and kind of sat back and took it all in and digested it. But, you know, I'm thinking right now he's just going to relax and get ready for this playoffs, because, you know, you look at – I mean, not to take away from the moment, but Tex was – is a big part of this team, and this team is, you know, poised to do something special. And so I think that's probably his focus, as it should be. I think as a competitor, he wants to be ready. If his number's called and they throw him out there, he wants to be ready for it. So I think that's where his focus is going to turn to.
Is it as easy to say, Hal, that the last two games, that's the mindset, that's the mentality, that's the approach the Predators have to take going into this series, the way they've played these last two games?
Yeah. No, it's funny because, you know, going into that, the Saturday night game, that was a big game because it meant clinching. And so you have all hands on deck, and you're fired up to go and win this, and they had a great performance. And then the game last night, I'll give John Hines a ton of credit. He made it somehow where it was an audition for the playoffs. Like, he put all these guys in that he knew were going to compete. They knew that guys that don't have an off switch, they're either younger guys or they're guys like Duchesne that want to say, hey, I want to go out and put in a last effort that will say, hey, I'm important to this team. And so all those guys go out, play hard, and that's what you want out of a team. The last thing you want to do is idle down and have a kind of lackadaisical effort. You want to go out there and give it everything you got. And so Hines kind of manipulated it so that everyone that was on that ice last night was giving it everything they got. And so, I don't know how much it's going to affect the series, but they were bullies at times. And that's what I loved about it. Like, you know, Gudbranson went over and just kind of toyed with Niederreiter. And, you know, Olivier was just ready to fight anyone, just staring at everyone. And, you know, I think they had that mindset to a man up and down the lineup that they were going to go out and be bullies last night. And they did it. And 5-0, you know, sends a message, I think, whether it's your starting guys or your big guys or it's the guys that they brought out last night. It sends a message.
Hal Gill is with us. And Hal, I want you to go a little further with that because I think we're all curious of what this is going to look like in the postseason, where traditionally that's where it might have the most impact, presuming that the guys who are doing the physical intimidating can play, right? They have to be able to keep up, and that's the trick against Carolina, who's an elite skating team. But none of us can ever remember the Predators ever having that edge going in. And you just cited a number of examples from the last two games where that was clearly what they were trying to do, is sort of send messages of, from a physical standpoint, we're going to be in your face, and there's not much you can do about it. You know, that's sort of the thing. And I cannot remember a Predators team ever having that going into a playoff series. Maybe they could stand up to a team that was going to do that, but they weren't the ones sort of bringing that to the fight.
Yeah, initiating. I mean, that's what the playoffs is all about. And I used to love playing playoff games because you're getting rid of all the fluff. There is nothing. It's a man's game, and whether you're a skilled player or a banger, whatever you are, you got to play a hard-nosed game, and it's a fight to get to the net, and it's a battle to, you know, every time you touch the puck, there's going to be someone that's looking to run you through the boards, and so it gets rid of all the little fluff around the game, and so skilled players have to play that way. And of course, if you're a checker and you're on a fourth line, you got to go out and play that game with intention and willing to initiate. And you can see it. I mean, this team is really, their mentality is like, we're going to make these D feel our pain, feel some pain. Every time they go back and you look through every team that the Preds have played in the last couple months, I see a lot of defensemen that are just moving the puck around the boards. Like, I don't want to take this hit. I'm going to move it quick and get my hands up so I don't get crushed. And, you know, when you look up and down the lineup that you have, you know, Gromlin doing it and Yarncroak going in there, not just the beast line and those guys going out and crashing and banging, it's everyone. And so I think that's the mindset that you have to have in the playoffs, and they already have it. So I think that's a good thing for the Preds, and it's been a while. So, I mean, you look over the last few years, it's always been like, oh, we're a great team. We'll win the President's Trophy, and we'll cruise into the playoffs, and they don't have that now. Now they have a hard-working, we're going to do whatever it takes mentality, and whether that means blocking a shot, they're taking a hit, or going out and giving hits, that's what they have right now. And so it's going to be interesting to see. Because Carolina is going to do the same thing. We're not going to see the same team that we saw on Saturday and Monday. They're going to raise their level, and they have a ton of speed, a ton of size. They play a direct game, a heavy forechecking game. So the Preds are going to be tested like they never have been. But right now they look poised and ready to take that challenge.
Hal, the analytics expert Mike Kelly from SportLogic, he made this point against Carolina. We've talked a lot about how Nashville, you just described it really well. The defensemen, when they go after that puck in their own end, they know the footsteps are coming. They know they got to be prepared to get hit, and they may elect to just get rid of the puck quickly to avoid getting hit. But what Mike Kelly said is, statistically speaking, Carolina is a very difficult team to forecheck. So what makes a team equipped to handle a good forecheck? Because Carolina seems to have it.
Yeah, quick outs. If I have a forecheck in me and I have, you know, someone within 15 feet of me that I can bump it to, and then he gets it and bumps it to another guy, quick short passes, then that's how you beat a good forecheck. And, in the neutral zone, sometimes you can stretch it out like they did on Saturday night where they sent out stretch guys and got scoring chances after that. But for the most part, if you're going to have a heavy forecheck, you want to move it quick. And that's what Carolina does. They have, I look at a guy like Jordan Staal, for example. He is always in perfect position to be an outlet for his defenseman. So, whether it's a D-to-D quick hit to the center, right there by doing that, those two passes, you've beaten two forecheckers, ideally, right? And so they'll make those close puck support plays, and then they'll transition out of the zone, and then they have the speed to get away from the guys. Now, the thing, if you look at what Trenin does, Yakov Trenin will get in there, crush a guy, and then he'll back pressure hard. Like these guys are reloading so hard right now, and so that's going to be the battle, is how hard can they get in on the forecheck and then reload? Because if you take a second to admire your hit, that's great that you hit a guy, but they're going the other way, and they're
and
going
out of
the
play.
Way fast.
Yeah, you can't take yourself out of
Sebastian,
the play.
Sebastian Aho, he's going to be gone. So and they're all really good at moving that puck with speed. So the last thing you want to do as a forechecker is hang behind. You want to get back, reload hard, and you look at even Elli Tolvanen does it really well, where he's on the body and then back in the play, and that's going to be huge against Carolina. Is how hard can they forecheck at the same time? How hard can they get back and reload?
We're talking to Hal Gill, aka Skillsy, as the Predators get ready to take on the Carolina Hurricanes in the playoffs. Skillsy, you played against Rod Brind'Amour, the head coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. What are some things that you can remember about going up against him and you saw as a player that have kind of translated to a coach that you see come out with his team?
Yeah, Rod the Bod. he's got an appearance alone. You just look at him and he's got a snarl, and he looks like someone peed in his cornflakes every time he's on the ice. It's like he's just got that mentality. And what he did as a player was, you're playing against him, and it's like you're not going to outwork him. That's not going to happen. And he kind of – his reputation and the way he plays, it's not going to be over. If you do win a battle – you're going to have to do it again and again and again. And I think when he came in with Carolina, remember, and Willie, I remember watching games in Carolina where it's just like they go and forecheck, and then they just fired at the net, and then a guy would crash the net, and it was just everything went to the net, and they got a ton of shots, and they kind of had that mentality when they didn't have all the skill that they have. Now they have players like Nichas that's standing out. Of course, Aho, these guys are skilled players. Svechnikov, go down the list. They have skilled players that play with that same mentality where they're going to work just as hard as their coach does. And, in the bubble last year, I don't know if you guys remember that Rod took his shirt off and was playing frisbee out in the bubble. Rod the Bod, and everyone's looking at him going, this guy's still shredded.
This guy's in better shape than we are.
Yeah, but it sends a message. It's like, guys, I know you think you're working hard, but you can work harder, because watch this, Yeah, right. Hold my beer. I'll show you what hard work is. And so he's got that mentality, and I think that team has that mentality, which makes, you know, not just a skilled team, but if you can get skill and will, that's when you have something. And so that this Carolina team has that, and it's because he kind of instilled that in them.
Well, Skillsy, it's going to be a fun series for sure. We appreciate you taking the time today, and now you can go and resume your nap.
Hal, you would fit in perfect where we are right now. Remember we went to the Rangers game a couple years ago during the Stars Predators series. We went and saw the Rangers, and we had the setup in the thanks to our buddy Sean Henry, the beloved president. We got set up with a great all inclusive suite where we overlooked the field from left field. Yeah. We got the same setup here at the Sounds game. You should come over here. This is perfect for
you. I want to go hang out with you guys.
Well, you're always invited.
We don't get that at the Barrel House. Why don't we get that spread at the Barrel House?
Darren needs to work
on it.
I don't
know. Guys.
No kitchen. There's no kitchen in the Barrel House.
I had a hard time controlling myself at that Rangers game. You know, I think that was, you know, I had a good time, and everyone in the stadium knew I had a good time. So I hope you guys
we all had a good time
as much as I did.
It was well known. It was not a secret.
I think Mike Minor had a good night. Good time.
Yes, he did. The question is, did Hal notice? Did it matter?
It's like, oh yeah, there's a baseball game going on.
Hal, that is something I remember. Mike Minor, former Vanderbilt Commodore, he pitched a really good game that night. They turned a big double play late to. And I kind of gave it a yeah, all right. And Hal was like, "You actually care what's going on in this game? You're such a nerd." I was like, "I like the game." He's like, "You're the only guy here watching this game."
There's nothing better than being at a ballpark just because of everything that's going on, and yeah, I guess the baseball game is part of it too.
Yep, there is that. Hal, appreciate it as always. Thank you.
All right, thanks, guys. I'm going to go back to growing my beard.
Cheers.
Hal Gill, a.k.a. Skillsy. Always good to catch up with him. Good stuff as always. I want to talk to you about big names that are headlining this weekend's UFC 262 card. From Tony Ferguson to Michael Chandler, there's no shortage of action. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for you for this weekend's fight that will give you 100-1 odds. Yeah, one fighter will be walking away with the belt, and you can walk away with some cash. All you have to do is just pick the main event fighter you think will win. DraftKings Sportsbook will give you 100-1 odds on that fighter. That's right. All you have to do is bet $1 of your money on the select fighter to win. If they win, you win $100. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than put your money where your mouth is, and that's with DraftKings Sportsbook. Don't worry. If mixed martial arts isn't for you, they've got great offers and odds and promotions on basketball, hockey, and so much more. It's safe, secure, reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME, and when you sign up, turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. Place your bet, watch the fist fly this weekend, use that code again, 1025GAME, and be a winner and turn $1 of your money into $100. This is for a limited time. It's only a DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.